babu babu babam, babu babu babu, babu babu babu, babu babu babu.
All right, welcome to the stream of consciousness. Bill is off today. I am off tomorrow, and then Bill and I are back together on Monday. What are you, a diva? Jimmy Mack is sitting in Bill's chair today. Where the show had started, where were you?
Well, I was outside talking to Ernie, and we're best friends now. So we were...
We have a show to do here. Well, you're not finished yet.
I have bromances I need to establish here. If I'm going to fit in the WGN hallways, I have to... Show some
Don't
charm.
Get too comfortable. I am getting very comfortable here.
This is a very comfortable place.
It's pretty nice here, isn't it?
I love it.
Someone has texted, Jim is there today. Let's hear the Star Wars news. What's the news?
Well, there's a lot of news. Obviously, so much is coming up on the horizon for Star Wars. At the end of the year, we have the release of Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker, which will tie
you
up
go right
the
into
entire
Star Wars,
Star Wars saga. Also launching in November is the Disney Plus streaming service, which is going to be Disney's answer to Netflix, and it's going to feature a live-action Star Wars show. The first time ever a Star Wars TV show is going to happen. It's going to be streaming on Disney Plus.
Are we getting that?
The name of the show, of course we are. The name of the show is The Mandalorian. The Mandalorian. And Mandalorian armor is the stuff that Boba Fett wore. And this is a new character, and it's going to be a show produced by Jon Favreau and
I love him
and Dave Filoni, and
I don't
starring
know him personally, but I love him as well.
And starring Pedro Pascal in the lead role. And then, of course, right now, Star Wars fans from all over the world are heading out to Disneyland to attend Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, the very first ever Star Wars theme park located at Disney. It's the largest expansion at Disney that's ever happened. And just this week, the park has publicly opened where you can go without making a reservation.
Yeah, that's big news.
It's very big news. There it is. The oxygen. The main theme
that's
to
Oprah's
Star
channel.
Wars. No, we call the music, John Williams' music, the oxygen of Star Wars.
I see what you did there.
Yes.
You did. I appreciate Star Wars, and I enjoy Star Wars. I've seen the movies a couple times. I hadn't seen them, and you made me see them before we got married, I think.
Yes, I did have to sit you down and walk you through
and they're good.
The original trilogy. There were only three at the time.
Yeah, and I've seen all of them. Again, you know what? I love the Star Wars community because they are just extremely loyal and they love what they love.
Absolutely.
What I love is Lando. Billy Dee Williams is really cool, and your brother has done a pretty fine impression of him, and that's come to life pretty much, has it not?
Well, it sure has. Bill all of a sudden surprised
Your
us.
Brother,
My
Bill.
Brother Bill, Billy Mack, he surprised us by doing a dead-on vocal impersonation of Billy Dee Williams. He doesn't make it a caricature or a cartoon.
Just it.
There's no exaggeration at all. He is a voice double for Billy Dee Williams. And so we brought him on to Rebel Force Radio, which you can listen to at WGNplus.com. And we're so happy to be part of that podcast family. So we started having Lando read things to us, like have Bill as Lando read legitimate Billy Dee Williams tweets. Or this time about a year ago, there was a Star Wars menu at Denny's. And so we had Lando read us the menu.
That's
and it's really,
funny.
Really funny. And so we started referring to the voice as Puppet Lando. Then, one day, I'm at home minding my own business, and a package arrives, and a listener had a custom, legitimate Puppet Lando, a real-life puppet that looks like something out of the Muppet Show.
It does. It's pretty professional.
But it does resemble Billy Dee Williams in that iconic role as Lando Calrissian. And if you go to RebelForceRadio.com right now, you can see on our webpage banner, you'll actually see the puppet right there. And if you visit the Rebel Force Radio YouTube channel, you can see Puppet Lando in action. We actually captured that moment when we opened up the package and Puppet Land
arrived. The reveal, the unboxing.
And there is also a toy review that Puppet Lando
hosted.
That's
pretty funny.
And coming soon, as a matter of fact, later today, we are going to debut Puppet Lando's visit to Northern California and the world's largest Star Wars memorabilia collection at Rancho Obi-Wan, owned by Steve Sansweet.
I can't wait to see that. I had to watch the debate last night to do my homework, so I couldn't see it. But you can follow Rebel Force Radio at rebelforceradio.com. They also have a YouTube channel. And again, I appreciate Star Wars. I think Star Wars is great. I'm not... don't shake your head. I don't live it and breathe it like you do. Hang on. And what I'm trying to say is, even if you're not that into it, you will love this Puppet Lando.
Absolutely. Fun for kids of all ages. But I have to say to you here right now, with all these people listening, I actually appreciate the fact that you are not a hardcore Star Wars fan. I think there's only room in our house for one of us.
The kids pretty much like it.
Well, it's enough. Been a great thing for us to share.
They like it enough. I mean, they, you know.
And they think it's cool that Dad has a collection like he
does. Listen to what you're saying. They think that I'm cool because I have a Star Wars collection.
Well, you know.
I like the nerds. I'm sorry. Say it loud, say it proud.
Yes,
I do.
Yes.
I mean, I work with Bill Leff every day.
He's a huge nerd.
No.
Bill is a big nerd, and he's a nerd about a whole bunch of different things.
He's a collector.
And he's very passionate.
That's what I like, is the passion.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, rebelforceradio.com, and find them on YouTube, because really, this Puppet Lando thing kills me.
Yeah, it's really...
It's so funny.
It's really grown a life of its own.
All right, now, we have something that we wanted to talk about. What's Hot and What's Cold, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. And I found this information. These are ways to be more attractive according to science. And I thought maybe you and I and the listeners could learn something from this, how we can present ourselves to be more attractive.
Science!
Thank you, Thomas Dolby. This is from ranker.com.
Mm-hmm.
I like that website pretty much. Develop a strong sense of humor.
Okay.
It's long been said there's nothing sexier than a sense of humor, and science may actually prove that assertion to be true.
Well, I know that a lot of times, when I was a youth, I would, look at the data sheet for the Playboy Playmates. And they often said, what, you know, the question was, what are you, go ahead and laugh.
No, I'm laughing because they also like long walks on the beach.
Right.
Everyone said that.
Listen, we didn't have the internet back then, okay? So this was, this and looking at Cosmopolitan was really the only way as a young guy.
And
that
National Geographic.
I could learn about women. That's what I want to get my freak on is when I look at National Geographic. But, so the Playboy Playmate data sheet would often ask the question, what are you looking for in a guy? And the Playmates would almost always say, someone who can make me laugh.
I don't think it's hard to do.
Yeah, there were other things too, like, well, he has to be in amazing Olympian shape. And so.
Would you just scratch that out?
Well, yeah, I'm like, well, I got to start working on my jokes.
All right. Well, according to science, this is true. If you weren't funny, you were definitely perceived as being less attractive. So that's a word of warning. This guy led a research study on the effects of humor and attractiveness. The study found that while both sexes were drawn to funnier people, women were much more apt to find a guy sexy because of his sense of humor.
Perfect.
In addition to the obviously pleasant effects of laughing and having a good time, a sense of humor can indicate other things as well. It suggests an ease and confidence in social situations, as well as enhanced intelligence. And those things are always attractive. So if you're funny, you're more intelligent?
Well, I mean, sometimes you have to be worldly to have a good sense of humor. I mean, you have to have topics and subject matter. And it has to make sense.
I guess. All right. So these according to science, these are ways to be more attractive. Developing a strong sense of humor is one of them. We can check that box for you, Jim. You have a good sense of humor.
Thank you.
The next one I'm not sure about. the next one is don't be a D word. It rhymes with sick, but it starts with a D. Don't be one. When it comes to attractiveness, kindness plays a big role in who we are drawn to. A 2014 study concluded that those with positive personalities were found to have much more attractive faces. We find that what is good is beautiful, with personality reflecting desired traits as facial attractiveness. This is according to the study. Issues of attractiveness, the case may lie in ingrained evolutionary responses. We want to find mates that will propagate the human race with desirable traits. And desirable traits, of course, go beyond the mere physicality of things. Kindness can make the biggest positive impression. So it stands to reason that from an evolutionary perspective, we'd want to populate the earth with nice people. There was a time for a while that men were super, super, super sensitive. And guys got a bad rap. It's like, you know, the whole, I love you, man. Yeah. Men were really sensitive. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, they had a knee-jerk reaction where they had to be these manly men again. I like a kind person.
Well, everyone does.
So be nice. You got to be nice.
Okay. It feels less like you're going through a list to entertain people and more like a bunch of demands for me.
No.
That's where this is heading. I can just tell.
No, because the other ones, you have it. Put the checkbox there. You're nice.
Okay, thank you. Good.
Beauty ways to be more attractive according to science. Raise your chin.
Raise your chin.
This is interesting. It wasn't meant as a pep talk.
Mm-hmm.
It was beauty advice. We tend to be more attracted to symmetrical faces. We stop looking up.
Well, I'm raising my chin.
Well, I know. And raising one's chin is a great way to give the illusion of better facial alignment. They don't mean like look straight up.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that attractive? Just
no,
to be staring
you're just
at the
staring
ceiling?
Staring at the ceiling.
That's not attractive to you?
Now, when you put your chin up, it also changes your attitude. A raised chin can indicate confidence, self-assuredness, and bravado.
Mm. Okay. Well,
when posing for photos, however, experts say to lower your chin a little bit, as an accentuated jawline is all sorts of sexy.
Hmm. Well, we're on camera here, so I don't know what
I
should
be doing.
I
don't think we are anymore.
Should I be looking up to be sexy, or
we're
should I be looking down?
Are you listening?
For photos?
Hello?
Well, somebody might bust in here and start taking pictures any minute now, so.
And Steve Bertrand's got all the cameras.
Got it.
And he has his chin up. According to science, here's how you can make yourself more attractive. Go easy on the fragrance.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. I'm sure a lot of people listening have been in that situation where you get stuck maybe in the cubicle farm and your neighbor next to you there at work is really bathing in a lot of Chanel or you know, other famous fragrances, because Chanel is the only one I can think of right
now.
That's
a pretty good one. Yeah. What do I wear?
I think you wear Chanel.
Narciso Rodriguez, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Chanel was easy. From the drugstore counter to the most exclusive luxury brands in the world, there's a fragrance at every price point to meet the demands of an aroma-obsessed culture. But an abundance of fragrance can be a turnoff, despite what Kim Kardashian or the Axe body spray people tell you.
Does Kim wear an abundance of fragrance?
Well, she has her own fragrance.
Yeah, but I don't...
It has to do with hormones. Research says that women can smell testosterone in men, and it's a major turn-on that can be obscured by too much cologne. For both men and women, more subtle fragrances are generally preferred. As one researcher put it, less intense odors tend to be rated as smelling better.
How do you make a hormone, Wendy?
Don't pay her. That is my favorite joke, and I enjoy it immensely.
Very, very well done.
That's all I got. Oh, I thought there were more.
There was more. Wait, there's not a paragraph about mullets.
Mullets are awesome.
Beer bellies. Acid wash jeans.
You're None totally describing like no beer belly, but you wore acid wash jeans when I first met you.
Hell yeah, I did.
And I wasn't. we were just friends back then.
That was cutting edge fashion back in 1991.
I have noticed looking for jeans. This is a new big style phenom for men and women. And I got to be honest with you. I think Adam Levine started this of Maroon 5. I only like Adam Levine because I liked him on The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big fan of Maroon 5. Bill likes Maroon 5. Jasmine, I think you're a fan of Maroon 5 as well.
I am.
Just does nothing for me. But he's started these pants with the racing stripes on the side. Back when I was in junior high, sweatpants... There was never a jean material with the stripe, but now those are Are they still popular, Jazz, or are they going out of style?
They're popular.
Yeah, I'm finding myself looking for the jeans with a stripe on the side, and I noticed, not acid wash, but there is definitely like a lot of, I saw some bleach washed jeans that reminded me of your old acid wash jeans.
Oh, I miss those days, let me tell you. Rotating that with the Zubas.
You didn't wear Zubas.
And the parachute pants.
You did not wear those either. But, you did have a members only jacket.
As far as having a stripe or a line down the side of your jeans, everything comes back to Star Wars with me.
Oh,
and back
God.
In 1976 when they filmed the original
Han Solo,
Star Wars,
right?
Harrison Ford
yeah.
wore blue jeans tucked into his boots, and the blue jeans had a red stripe stitched on
Are
the side.
Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you. It's known within the Star Wars universe as the Carillion blood stripe.
All right, that might be TMI, but...
well, hey, listen. I'm here to deliver the hardcore information people demand.
Another thing that science finds attractive in a mate is dorkiness. Nerdiness.
Dorky
I do.
Nerdiness.
I think it's endearing. But now I really, Han Solo, mm-hmm. I have the same taste as he does.
Absolutely.
Because those jeans with the red blood of whom?
The Carillion blood stripe is what it's technically known as.
And that was just, I mean, it wasn't in a movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was in all the original Star Wars films.
I thought they were black with a white stripe.
No. I think maybe in Return of the Jedi, he had brown with a yellow stripe.
Interesting.
If you want to be technical. But I know for a fact that the original wardrobe that Harrison Ford wore in the original Star Wars was blue jeans with a red stripe down the side.
So does that make you happy that my new fashion search for jeans with stripes on the side is reminiscent of Han Solo?
Absolutely. Now, they don't also wear a
Kim
holster.
Kim Gordon has joined us, and she's laughing at this.
Kim's a big Star Wars fan. She knows what we're talking about here.
She's... No, but I did just get some jeans with stripes down the side.
See, that's what I want.
White stripes, though.
Oh, I like that as well. I am...
Light-colored white.
I'm looking at Nordstrom. It popped up, so I had to click on it to see what was for sale and what was on. Might be Nordstrom Rack. And they're showing jeans with, like, a glitter stripe. I don't want that. I'm not going to the disco.
No.
But I do like the red stripe or the white stripe.
All right, I'll wear mine tomorrow. You can see them.
All right. No, I'm not in tomorrow.
Oh, all right.
Jerry Nunn is in tomorrow, correct?
Oh, Jerry.
And who is Jerry working with?
G. She works
from
the Chicago Sun.
Yeah, I love her. So Jerry and G tomorrow.
Okay.
And
when are you back so I can plan
on Monday?
Okay.
Fashion show.
Fashion show at lunch. You got to finish it up. But I am surprised to know that my love of striped jeans go back to the Han Solo wear. Kim, you know I wouldn't have chosen that because Han Solo wore it.
I'm actually looking.
It's to make your husband happy, right?
I didn't even know.
I'm actually looking at the jeans with the stripe, and they're pretty cool. I have to admit, I like how they look.
So you're going to get a pair now and tuck them into boots like Han Solo?
I might.
All right.
I might
it would be
just
a good look
that.
On you.
Yeah.
With the baseball cap?
Yeah.
Are you wearing the baseball cap today because of Bill or because you need a haircut?
Because I need a haircut, and I refuse to get one. All my kids have long hair, so I'm trying to compete with them a little bit. So we'll see how that goes.
All your two kids, your two boys have long hair. You're trying to grow your
All
hair?
My kids. Well, I'm not trying. I am.
Oh.
Well, I guess trying.
You got a long way. No, you have it. It's just pretty short.
It doesn't grow like it did in my 20s and 30s.
I loved your mullet. That was the award-winning mullet.
I'm trying to bring it back.
All
just
right.
for you, honey.
Well, then start playing hockey, too, because that's where it's popular as well.
Yeah, it's called the hockey head. or the hockey hat, or if other sports, the soccer rocker is another name for the mullet. The ape drape, if you will.
I don't know. Yeah. I remember the skullet. These were all terms for mullets. It's when a guy is balding on top but still wants the mullet in the back, so it's a skullet.
The achy, breaky, big mistakey.
Right, because of what's his name?
I just know all, business in the front, party in the back.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
I like the mullet. Bill de Blasio kind of looked like he had a little bit of a mullet last night. I was looking at the debates.
He's a tall man.
It was longer in the back, and for a half a second, I'm like, he's got a mullet starting, and then he turned his head, and it isn't really.
No,
but I thought, oh, wow, he's the guy to bring it back.
He's catering to the mullet vote.
I don't know if you want that. We're going to take a quick break, and then we are back with the news with Kim Gordon. It's Jimmy Mack. It's Wendy Snyder at 720. No, it isn't 720. We are on the stream.
Streaming.
WGN Extra. I thought you had met Jimmy Mack.
No.
This is the first time.
I mean, I feel like I already know him anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I talk about you.
I know. I learn a lot about myself, but listening to this show.
How do you feel once it's over?
You know, sometimes it's they're lonely moments that I have by myself as I contemplate some of the commentary on my life that I hear on the show. But I do enjoy it.
And you're used to it. I've been doing it for years.
My goodness.
What you see is what you get with
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's what I like about you.
Well, thank you, Kim. I have something I want to talk about with both of you. Can you hang around for a little bit? There are a lot of times there's no one in the newsroom, Jim. You're just giggling there on your phone, which is pretty distracting.
Well, I'm sorry, but my mom said she was listening to the show, and she's on her way to the store to get a large jar of mayonnaise.
Oh, because I said my mother-in-law, and it wasn't a slam.
Now I want to meet her.
Yeah.
She's great.
She's amazing.
She sounds like a Southern Belle.
Yeah, she is.
A girl after my own heart.
Because you're from Kentucky, right?
I am.
She's from Corinth, Mississippi.
Yeah, northern Mississippi.
And I was not insulting her. I was saying, we were talking earlier in the day about how long pizza will last in your fridge. And we're too worried about things. Jim kept bringing up bacteria. We had an empanadas that was sitting on the counter yesterday for over an hour. And he's like, oh my God, it's out. We got to put it in.
Yeah.
And I said that his mom, being from the South, she has made things with mayonnaise and potato, you know, potato salad, coleslaw, and it stays out all day. And honestly, no one ever got sick back then. So why are we so worried about it now?
I know, you know, and a lot of people leave their butter sit out.
We were talking about that too.
You know,
that bothered Jim because it's like
me. I put it in the fridge, but it is better when it's out because then it spreads. Yeah, but I don't know how safe that is.
And eggs.
Eggs. Well, you know, the thing about eggs is I love to bake, as you know, and, you know, really your eggs are supposed to be
room temperature
when you bake. So I do set them out, but then I worry, like, am I setting them out too long? You know?
I just worry if you leave them out of the fridge long enough, they'll hatch.
No.
Well, that's a problem.
No. They have to be incubated. If you put them, you know,
in the terrarium,
which we don't have.
I'm just kidding.
Chicks just incubate out of an incubator. It's really cool. When I was in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where did you see that?
I have video of it. I'll show you.
Was it at a museum?
It's this place in Door County called The Farm, and it's a working farm, but, you know, kids go there and they have a petting zoo, mm-hmm. and then they have the chick incubator and a big garden and old time tractors and stuff. It was really fun. It was
Brookfield
really cool.
Zoo has that too, the farm area in the children's mm-hmm. zoo. It's not called the children's zoo anymore. And I've seen chicks hatch there too. It's so wild. It's like this light that you think French fries are under, but no, they're just little chicks
and
coming out.
And you just see them, their little beak pecks it out of the shell. It's cool. And the thing just splits open. There they are.
And they have a lot of work because they're just like little weaklings trying to push their way out of the shell. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool to see that.
It really is cool. I know they do it at state fairs too, where you can see the chicks.
Such a fine line between life and omelets. Really makes you think.
Yeah. I like omelets. What's your go-to omelet?
Oh, veggie for sure.
I'm a Denver. And you're usually ham and Swiss. Pretty much your go-to omelet.
I do like
that. I'm an egg white girl.
Yeah.
Egg white, spinach, mm-hmm. mushroom. That would be good.
Onion, broccoli.
I like that too.
Sometimes a little mozzarella.
Getting hungry.
But well done.
That is key to getting
an omelet.
Do
not like a runny egg. Ooh, no.
Because for all these years, I love eggs over easy. I don't like them sunny side up. But I realized that I should say over medium. There's still yolk in there. But if it's not cooked all the way, it is like, it's really.
I can't deal with a runny egg.
So what do you say? You order your omelet well done?
I tell them,
burn
it. I mean, I like it dead.
Ooh, that's a lot.
I tell them, like, when I go to order it, I say extra, 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 extra well done. And they look at me and I'm like, no, I really mean it.
So does it come back omelet. Like charred?
Yeah, I love it like that.
Okay, because I like
egg
golden
white gets, like,
brown.
Crispy and lacy like that. It's so good.
I guess with an egg white, that's different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When you're making s'mores, do you burn your marshmallow so it's completely blackened?
Because
I do too. Yeah.
Because then, you know, I sit there and order. My kids are embarrassed because I'm like, extra, 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 extra well done omelet. I want burnt toast.
You know how to live, Kim Gordon.
I love it.
Hot dogs on the grill.
Oh, burnt. I like those blistered. Yeah. It's funny because we've made it for the kids and they prefer them boiled. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, no, you got to get it all charred like that. They don't like that.
Oh, I love it.
We used to make open face grilled cheese and burn the cheese so it was black.
Yeah, it's
how'd
good.
You do that?
Because it gets crispy,
oven.
Kind of. Even like what you were just talking about pizza, like crispy pizza mm-hmm. with you know cheese that's brown and bubbly. That's the best way.
Because then it's just black on the surface, but then when you bite it, it's all melt. I mean, really melt.
And then you burn the roof of your mouth.
Well, you do that a little bit. You know, that's the price you have to pay for good eats. So.
I guess.
So a lot of people ask which came first, the chicken or the egg? In this conversation, it was the chicken.
You're right.
I'd like to confirm that.
Some things that we do not do anymore. These are everyday tasks that we actually used to do, but nobody does them anymore. When's the last time you memorized a phone number?
You know, it's embarrassing because my son changed his phone number and I don't even know it anymore.
I was filling out some forms. Our youngest son, Dylan, got his first job and I was helping him. God, the worst part of getting a job is filling out those stupid forms. It is such a pain. So I'm like, what's your phone number? And he looked at me and he said, you don't know? And I said, well, I can look it up and get the information, but no. So if I lose my phone, I don't know their numbers.
When I give my phone number, I always say, it's DI3, you know, I throw that in there just to throw people off.
That was the old days. Like, I think Brookfield was Hunter 5, 485.
So would it be like HU?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember any other interchanges.
In Louisville, I remember my grandparents used to say it was something like Glendale 54.
So GL.
Yes. Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. So memorizing a phone number, nobody does that anymore. I remember kids that I've gone to junior high with that I'm still friends with. I remember their old numbers.
Yeah, I remember all my own old home phone numbers and all that, but I
not
couldn't
currently.
Tell you a new one.
The only phone number I have memorized is my own and my mom's, and that's it.
Yeah.
There are no other phone numbers I have memorized.
I have your cell phone memorized.
Good.
You don't have mine?
Let's share it on the air. I want because I
you don't have mine.
I'm going to take listener calls after the show's over. Do I have? Yes, I know yours. Yours is actually very easy to
mine
remember.
Is easy because I was one of the first cell phone members when it was God. What was it called? Cellular One. What was it before that? Singular. When I worked at the Loop, Larry Wirt helped me get one of those old car phones that were mounted in your car.
That's the first
not
one
the
I
brick.
Had. And you had your antenna on the back, remember?
And you could go hands-free. You could just leave. That was pretty exciting. So that's, God, 80-something, 90. I don't know, but I have a really good, easy-to-remember number. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
No.
So that's what we do not memorize phone numbers anymore, and there's honestly really no need to. What about using a phone book to find a company to work around your house?
I haven't even seen a phone book in years.
I recycled the phone book when it got delivered to us.
Yeah,
why do they even have it?
I don't understand. It's a waste of paper to me.
That's an industry. They make money. They sell advertising in the phone book. I mean,
but everybody puts it right into the recyclable bin.
Well, not everyone.
I saved them for a while, and then I realized I will never need this again.
I wonder if they have an app, though, like, you know, a phone book app.
I think there's whitepages.com.
Yeah.
You can find.
There's Yelp.
Well, Yelp, of course. But I was thinking, like, from an address perspective of
how to get.
Residential.
Yeah. Oh, residential. Yeah. I don't know. You can honestly Google anybody and you're surprised at what comes up.
I've used that app, the app or the website anywho.com to get a address of someone, but sometimes the name will pop up, but you have to charge. You know, they want to charge
you.
Yeah, you
have to. It's so funny, and it's like you look somebody up.
I'll find it.
And, you know, I do know that, because you, like, go through, like, 8 screens, and then all of a sudden it's like, what's your email address, and do you want to subscribe to get your
first... Right, and then sometimes you'll just get it, so I don't know why it happens sometimes and not others. But then you can also do, like, reverse lookup on that, which sometimes we'll do in the newsroom if we're looking for a business or something. Where, like, say there's a fire nearby and we want to talk to somebody to find out what's going on, we'll put in the address and see what the businesses are.
Yes. Yeah. That's a good, but again, the internet makes it so much easier. You don't really need a phone book.
No, you don't.
This one people might still do. Sell your car with cardboard signs stuck on the windshield.
Yeah,
how else would you do it?
People put them out on their lawns.
Although I think more frequently now they're doing the glass paint. Yeah. You know, like they just put the amount and a phone number.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
this one might still be around. Yeah. How else? How else do you do it?
Well, you trade it at CarMax or you know.
Right, right. Exactly. Craigslist.
Yeah.
I bought my car from Craigslist.
And there was a body in the trunk. Yeah.
And it didn't have any wheels. What's wrong with that?
Figure out math in your head. I swear to God, I cannot.
I'm the worst.
Do it. I can do math, and I actually did pretty well in math and geometry and algebra, but it's because I could sit there with paper and figure it out. Even when we order a pizza, I need to ask the total so I can figure out the tip in advance because I can't think on my feet and I end up tipping the guy like $20.
I did math in my head on the car ride in as we were listening to the Steve Cochran show. He had a vendor on from the Sox farm. Yeah.
I heard that guy.
Right. He was great. And he was talking about how many beers he sold in like the most in one day. And he said it was like the amount of trays he had or something.
47 trays.
And there were like 26, like a case per tray. And so I was doing the math in the car.
You were doing it, but I never heard an answer.
It was 210 or 220.
Bill Left does that all the time, too. Whenever there's some odds or numbers thrown out, he always does what you did. He was like,
no, it would have been way more than that if it was a case. And he said he had like.
Don't you think it's kind
40?
Of like a guy thing?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we got nothing else to do. listen for our next command.
Oh, shut up. Shut it. Call and ask a family member, where are you? I text my kids all the time.
I mean, I call too, especially if I text and I'm like waiting for them or want to know where they are. And then I get no answer, you know, and you're already worried. So then you call and you're like, where are you?
They claim that with the phone tracker app that's free, there's no need to ask them anymore. I don't do that.
No, I don't track. My kids are too old to track.
My thing I do now, and it's become kind of a habit, is I'll text people just simply with ETA ?
Because estimated time of arrival.
I always want to know when people are going to enter my life. So I want to know. ETA?
I do that to you. And I always go on the outside. Like if I'm out shopping or something and I'm going to be home by 5, I'll say 6 o'clock just because then there's a buffer time.
Right.
Jim, if he was going to be home at 5, will say 4 and then he's an hour late. Go long. Instead of short, because then it's like a bonus that you've come home early.
Yeah, but then I have to deal with all that time where you're thinking, oh, well, he's just going to be out messing around with his buddies all day long. And
when do you do that?
I have buddies that I will mess around with.
If you had time.
If I had the time.
I just don't see Wendy as that kind of person. Like,
she's not.
Where
she's
are actually, you? Come on, you know.
No, sometimes.
Well, I don't mean that she's that kind of pet, you know, that wife that's like,
no.
Where are you?
I do it when he's been at a Grateful Dead show and I haven't heard from him for about 14 hours. Cases, then I'll go, are you coming home tonight or what?
In those cases, I can't even answer where I am a lot of times. So, yeah.
Unless I need you to do something, I never say where
just,
are you.
Just send me a text saying ETA ? And I'll type back 2019.
Although I just figured something out, Kim. The only times I text Jim and it's like, where are you? When are you going to be home? It's when I need him to do something.
Right,
walk the
so
dog.
That's why you probably don't answer me when I do that. Because you know that on the other side of it, I'm going to request something.
Well, also, I'm like, well, geez, we're in the same room together. Why doesn't she just ask me?
We do text in the house a lot. It's if the kids are upstairs, I'm so sick of yelling. Like, you know, tell the boys dinner's ready. And it's like, boys! Like, I could have done that.
Remember when you used to have, there used to be intercoms in house?
Right.
We didn't have an intercom, but we had I knew people that did. I bet you guys had an intercom.
In my parents' house, there was an intercom system that nobody could ever figure out how to work.
Well, that's okay. We have one here. We can't figure it out either.
There's one here?
Well, yeah, you talk to people in the newsroom. That's an intercom.
Because you know what I would like? I would like can I like hit *9 or something and do like an announcement like they do at Target or something? Because I would like to have fun with people and say, you know, Kim Gordon, please report to the news. Do we have like a paging system here?
No, but I feel like we had it at my old radio station.
I would like
in
to
Louisville.
Kim,
play
do
pranks
you text,
on people.
Do you text people in the same house?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So this is probably a more common thing.
What do you think?
With the technology.
I know a lot of people like to text from the toilet.
Yeah, especially can when you get me some toilet paper? Yeah, that's a good one. We text, it just keeps, you know, sometimes it's just easier to text. It is.
It is.
Like, what time do you have to work today? 6 o'clock. Okay, great. And then it's done. Right. Instead of walking all the way upstairs, trying to wake a teenager up on a summer day and say, what time are you working? It's just easier.
Mm-hmm.
What, you think that? It does bother him. It's like, we live in the same house. Why do we need to text? Because it's just...
It is easier.
You get to the point quicker.
I'm trying to promote conversation.
Stop what you're doing, you know.
Tell time by hands on a clock. I can still do it. I think our kids learned it.
It was either Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy.
Yes, yes.
People, younger people, they could not do it. They had no clue.
Here's what I don't understand. We taught our kids to tell time on a regular clock, and they're 16 and 20, so they're not. It still wasn't that popular. Digital had made the, not an iPhone yet, but now everybody looks at an iPhone to see what the time is. But there's no, I mean, they still have clocks in the schoolrooms, like a regular clock. So wouldn't you?
They look at the phone.
I guess, but I don't know. If I saw something and I didn't know what it meant or how to do it, I think I'd do a YouTube search and go, how to read a clock.
Absolutely.
So I find it shocking that people...
I don't know if you guys remember this, but we used to have all those worksheets in school where you fill in the time.
Yep.
And that took, you know, no pun intended, a lot of time.
So what, they're not doing that anymore in school? Is that what's happening?
I wonder if they are. I remember all those little worksheets where you filled in the hour, you know, the big hand, the little hand on the empty clock.
All right, again, this is, we're talking, USA Today put this together. Some of these I don't agree with, though. Make photo albums. There's a lot of people, they just call it scrapbooking now.
Scrapbooking, sure.
Yeah.
I
don't. I'm guilty. I have boxes of photos, and they're all on my computer.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of times people just park that stuff on Facebook or Instagram. Snapchat.
I used to kind of do Pinterest, which is, in a way, is a scrapbook.
I like that.
I love Pinterest.
I find good recipes there. And I never made baby books. I have like their first haircuts. I have their hairs in their books, but I never filled it out.
It was always a goal of yours, though, to maintain them, and you just never did.
I was working.
By the time each kid got to be about 2 or 3, I think you just realized, well, I guess the baby book ship has sailed.
Dude, two or three weeks, then I stopped adding stuff. Like, I have their birth weight in there.
Like, one thing in there, and...
I know, and I'm mad at myself.
I know you are now, but like at the time, you're so busy, you're so tired, you can't.
Yeah.
But I would like to present that to them someday, you know? Yeah. Michael gets very sentimental when he sees pictures of himself when he was a baby. Dylan just giggles like, that was me. So make photo albums. I guess people don't do it, but scrapbooking would have replaced that. Have a CD or record collection. That is not true.
Well,
a lot of people around here, I know, have a lot of records and stuff.
And records. CDs, we have them. Where did we, do we still have them in the
crawl space?
Oh, okay.
They're in the crawl space. And then every once in a while, I'll grab a box and try to digitize them. But that's
kind of time consuming. Oh, you are out over your skis on that.
Well, nowadays, with the Amazon Music app and things of that nature, you can just pay a monthly subscription and have everything streaming at your fingertips.
Yeah.
So you don't really have the need for a physical media collection anymore.
But both of our boys have album collections. They have just, you know, and we have albums that, you know.
My 11-year-old nephew just got
a turntable.
Turntable,
yeah. There's something more intimate and interactive when you're actually handling the physical media of like vinyl and everything. There's just something so cool about it. It sounds better. I don't know.
All right. And the last one, because we have to wrap up, watch shows when they are broadcast live. Very rarely do I do that. We now fit TV into our schedule instead of the other way around.
We do it with
sports,
football, especially football.
Mm-hmm. I
can't sports, but.
If a game's over, I guess Blackhawks we kind of do.
Baseball. I will actually DVR Hawks games.
And not talk to people until you're able to watch.
It's hard, though, because things pop up on your phone, and you know.
Well, you have to be careful. Yeah. Those are treacherous waters.
Although last night I did, watch live the debates because I wanted to see.
Me too. Yeah. That is, my son Michael and I watched it, and it took forever because Michael paused it after each person so we could discuss, how do you think they did? What do you think about these issues? And I have to tell you, it was cool doing that with a 20-year-old kid who cares so much.
Who did he think was the clear winner? Who was he impressed?
We liked, we discussed this, and we thought, Julian Castro, I had never heard of him, and he was awesome. I don't know if he won. Elizabeth Warren, I don't know if she's the clear-cut winner.
Yeah.
Cory Booker did pretty well.
He's such a good orator.
Yeah. And then there was a guy that looked like Will Ferrell on the far right. That's, I don't even remember who that is.
Well, he could have been on the far right. It was a Democratic
No, on the far right.
Was he the former congressman from Ohio?
No, that was Tim Ryan.
Yeah.
He was on the right-hand side.
Oh, was he from Maryland?
Yes.
Yeah.
He looked like Will Ferrell to me.
Yeah, former governor of Maryland, maybe? Or
that might be it.
Yeah.
Too many people, you don't remember their names.
And then there was the guy from Washington, too. I forgot his name.
Oh, I don't remember.
It was gerrymandering.
All right, we have to go. We're going to wrap up. Kim, thank you so much for hanging out. And Jimmy Mack, thank you so much for hanging out. We'll wrap up in just a second. How about that? It's the stream. It's WGN Extra. Thank you so very much for listening. We really appreciate it. Bill Leff has been off the last couple days. I'm off tomorrow and then a reunion of sorts. Bill and Wendy show back in action on Monday. Jimmy Mack, thank you so much for sitting in for Bill today.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a blast.
I had pretty much fun my own self. So we will talk to everybody on Monday. Have a lovely weekend. Jasmine, thank you for all your help today.
No problem, as always.
Jimmy Mack was quite the diva.
Wow, that's
gonna go home. See, it's gonna be a long car ride.
Probably stupid.
Long.
All right, maybe I'll take the train then. Jimmy, thank you so much. Have a good weekend, everybody. A day early, and we'll talk on Monday. See you, Jim.
See you, Wynn.